Before we get into our message, it is my privilege to ask our high school graduates who are here this morning to come up. So one of them you might recognize, he was on the drums, and Shannon is here as well. And we just want to take a moment just to recognize them and the accomplishment of graduating, but also just to pray for them. And one of the things that we're doing this year is we've actually had each one of them send us some info, and we've made up prayer cards. Because as high school graduates move on and they go to college and they do their different things, it's often at a difficult time where they really wrestle through their faith. And we're just asking for you as a congregation, if you would just take one of these or a couple of these prayer cards of our graduates and put it on your fridge or wherever you might see it, just to remind you during the next year, just to pray for our graduates. And then after the service, they'll be available. They're out in the foyer, the prayer cards, and also there's donuts. You know, we're bribing some of you that may not do it otherwise. And so we just ask that you would do that and pray for our graduates. I'm going to ask Danny to come forward. Danny is one of our volunteers in the youth ministry, and I'm just going to ask him to pray for Barrow and Shannon this morning. The mic's right there, Danny.
Well, it's my privilege to pray for these two. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Barrow and Shannon and this last year of being at the youth group and the contributions they've made there. And Lord, as they go out into the world, we just pray that you would continue to be with them and lead them as you see fit for each of them. And God, I just pray that you would keep them both safe and that you would keep their focus on you and just pushing and striving to be more like Jesus every day. Mm-hmm. And Father, we celebrate with them graduation and the excitement of that and also moving out into the rest of their lives. And Father, we also pray that they would continue to see Westwood as a place that they can call home and always think back on. And as Ryan said, with the prayer cards, always feel that presence of us praying for them as a congregation, God. Mm-hmm. And so we just thank you for them and pray that you would bless them as they go out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. All right, so this morning we'll be finishing up our series called Why. And this morning we're asking the question, why live intentionally? Like, why would we do that? And I think it's really fitting as we both consider both what happened on the Thailand trip and as we consider our grads that we're asking this question. Because I would guess if you were to ask any of the graduates, if you would say to them, you know, like, what do you want to do with your life? I doubt very many of them would say, you know, I really hope that I do nothing significant. I hope I kind of just coast through life, you know, and not really do anything of value or meaning my entire life. I would hazard a guess that you probably wouldn't get that answer from them. Most of them would have big dreams, big aspirations of doing something that mattered, something significant with their lives. And most of us do. We want to have purpose. We want to have meaning in our lives. But the reality is that if we don't intentionally live in a way that pursues what our purpose is, we can inadvertently end up doing exactly what I just said, coasting through life, not really investing in our life in anything of value or significance. And none of us would mean to do it, but there's just so many things to distract us, so many things to take us off course, so many things vying for our attention that sometimes we wake up and years have gone by and we're like, what did I do with the time? And so this morning, we want to examine this. Why live intentionally? And we want to examine the whole idea of what does it look like to actually live intentionally in a way that would lead us to live out the purpose that we have for our lives, that we would live out a life that has meaning and value and significance. But that doesn't happen by accident. And so this morning, what we are going to do is we're going to examine a couple questions First is this: what is your purpose in this season of life? Because sometimes the purpose of your life can shift as you grow, as you age. What exactly your purpose is changes. And we would all understand this, but if you're a follower of Jesus, the question gets a little more specific than just this whole idea of living with purpose. If you're a follower of Jesus, you might ask a question more like this: what is God calling you to? We talk about this sense of calling, and we bring God into the picture, and we say, what does God have for us in the season of life? What is he asking us? What is he calling us into? How is he calling us to serve alongside him in what he's already doing? And as we examine this, I want you to understand something, because sometimes it's really easy to think, well, you know, maybe what I'm doing right now doesn't have much significance, or maybe, you know, you think the role that you're in doesn't much matter and you can't wait to get out of it. But the story that we're going to hear about this morning, the story of Hezekiah, would say otherwise. The story of Hezekiah would say that what you're doing now is actually preparing you for what comes next. As insignificant as you may think it might be, it's preparing you for what comes next. And if you were to look in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 10, there's a sentence in there that seems kind of insignificant, and you could just blow right past it. And the sentence is this: I was the cupbearer of the king. You'd be like, oh, okay, great, he's the cupbearer, who cares, no big deal, what's next? Keep reading, right? And you'd get right past it. But the fact that he was the cupbearer actually sets Hezekiah up, as you're going to see in a minute, to live out the calling that God is about to put on his life. Had he not been the cupbearer, he would not have been able to live out the calling. He would not have had the place that he was given to speak to the king. And so the fact that he was a cupbearer is significant. I mean, cupbearer isn't a job that one would aspire to. All right, so if we asked the grads, even if this was a job in our day, most of them wouldn't say, yeah, that's something I want to do. I mean, who wants to drink wine for the king to see if it's poisoned? Yeah, pick me. You know, especially in those days, people were always trying to off kings so that they could be the next in line, right? Who wants to be that guy? You get to live dangerously, I guess, but other than that, there's not many perks, right? But yet, because he was the cupbearer, he gets set up for this amazing calling that God is going to give him. And so let's have a look at that now. So you can turn to Nehemiah chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 3 and 4. And what's happening, just to set it up a little bit, is there's this group of people who have gone out and they've examined what Jerusalem looks like, the state of Jerusalem and the Jewish people in that area. They've gone out to see what it is, and they're coming back and they're giving a report. And so Nehemiah asked these guys about it, and this is what they say. They say, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. One of the things I think you can ask yourself if you want to discern what God's calling is in your life, if you want to figure that out, what God might be calling you to in this season of life, is simply this: what breaks your heart? What breaks your heart? I mean, if we look at this, Nehemiah is heartbroken when he hears about the state of Jerusalem and the state of the Jewish people in that area. He is heartbroken. He begins to weep. I mean, he is broken about this. He's like, this should not be. This is terrible. What breaks your heart? What do you see that you're just like, man, when I see that, that just absolutely breaks my heart? And we saw this when we were in Thailand. The church planters that we had, their hearts were broken for their people that didn't know Jesus. The Burmese and Khmer church planters, they were just broken. They were asking God, God, what can we do to reach our people? We're broken for them. We want them to be in relationship with you the way that we are. We want them to have that too. And they were broken. Their hearts were broken for their people. My heart breaks when I see so many young people who don't know Jesus. And so I just have this real heart to empower and equip young people to be able to share their faith so that we can see more young people live in relationship with God. What's on your heart? What has God placed in your heart that you're just broken for something? Because maybe, just maybe, God's calling you to something there. And you have that heart for that thing because God is at work in your life calling you to do something about it. You're not broken about that for no reason. If we continue in the story, we see that as Hezekiah, because he's the cupbearer, he goes in before the king, and the king sees how heartbroken he is. And so the king says this to him. He says, "Why are you so heartbroken?" He says, "What is it that you want?" And I love this. I love this. Before Hezekiah answers, what does he do? He prays. He says, "Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king. If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it." See, the second thing that Nehemiah realizes is that not only does it break his heart, but he knows someone needs to do something about this, and he comes to believe that that someone is him. The second question to ask yourself as you discern what God might be calling you to in this season of your life is this: what is something you see in the world that you feel needs to happen? Like it just has to happen, like someone just needs to do something about this. This just shouldn't be, or this should be a certain way, and I just have this sense that maybe I'm the one to do something about it, right? It's always easy to be the guy that says, "Oh yeah, that's terrible. Someone should do something about that," right? Maybe it's you. Maybe you should do something about it, or maybe you should do something about it. But we don't always take the time to think, maybe I should do something about it. Maybe I should do something about it. What is something you see in the world that you feel needs to happen? Because maybe, just maybe, that's an invitation from the Holy Spirit to be a part of doing something about it, to join God in doing something about it. Because the Burmese church planters, there's one named Isaiah, and he had a heart for his people and to see his people come to know Jesus. But as he went back into Myanmar, which is sometimes also called Burma, he knew that he quickly realized he could not use the same church planting techniques he used in Thailand amongst the Burmese people because they didn't have any jobs. Most of the people he was trying to work with were poor subsistence farmers in Burma. And he's like, "What am I going to do? God, what do I need to do? My people, not only do they need you, but they need to be cared for. They need their needs to be taken care of." And God said the most interesting thing to him, and something that he was surprised at, but he was intentional about. God said to him, "Start learning about farming." And he was like, "What?" Okay, I don't know anything about farming. But he started learning everything he could about farming. And in fact, God started giving him all this favor when it came to agriculture and lining up all these people in his lives. In fact, the king of Thailand had his top agricultural person he ended up becoming friends with, and now he gets all this advice about how to do farming well from this guy, and this has allowed him to use farming and agriculture to help the people in these villages and these towns in a way that changes their life. And then he's now begun to use the gospel, where because Jesus uses lots of farming analogies in his stories he tells, he's using those to share the gospel with people. And that's exactly what happened. Some of you may remember a year ago I went to Myanmar, and that's exactly what happened when we saw almost those 100 people come to Christ. He was talking about farming, then he started talking about Jesus. Next thing, people were interested in Jesus and said yes to Jesus. But he was like, something needs to happen here. And he stepped into that and said, let it be me, God. I'll do something about it. Show me how. And that leads us to the next thing, because the next thing that Nehemiah does is he goes and he looks. He goes to Jerusalem and he looks at the walls and he surveys the people. He takes stock of what are the next steps that I need to do if I'm going to live out this calling, just like Pastor Isaiah, as I was just talking about, did. Right? He examined, what is it that I need to do next? And God said, learn about farming. Nehemiah does the same thing. He goes and scouts out what the walls are like, what condition they're in, what the people are living like there. And he starts to come up with a plan, right? He looks into what steps he needs to take to move towards what he sensed God was calling him to. And some of you may already have a good idea of what God's calling you to. And you might be in this space where you now need to start thinking about what are the steps I need to take to actually move towards my purpose or my calling. What are the next things I can do? And they might be small steps. Some of us are still discerning what that calling might be. But some of us are ready to take those next steps. And so I encourage you, then after you have a sense of what God might be calling you into, think about what the next steps are, but don't just think about them. Once you have a sense of what they are, step into them, do them, and see where God leads you. That's what Nehemiah did. But then, inevitably, what happens when we're living out our purpose and what God's calling us to, we often end up facing adversity, right? You may have heard the expression that anything that's worth doing in life is probably going to be difficult. I mean, there are things in life that are worth doing that aren't difficult. But a lot of things that are really, where we find our meaning and purpose, we're going to face adversity. We're going to face difficulty. And at the very least, we're going to be tempted by distractions that would lead us off course. And this is what we see in Nehemiah chapter 6. There's these two guys, and they are not too pleased that Nehemiah is rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem. In fact, they're not happy at all. And so because they're feeling very insecure about the power and that the Israelite people are gaining here, because they're not happy about that, they send this message because they're trying to distract Nehemiah from completing what God has called him to. And so they say, come, let us meet together in the one of the villages on the plain of Ono. I mean, many of us, as we've faced our calling, we've been distracted by this, right? A meeting that you don't really need to go to? Who's ever been there? Come, let's have another meeting. Don't do the things you know you need to do. Come to a meeting. But Nehemiah, he's sharp, and he realizes that, as it says here, that they're scheming and they're trying to harm him. So he sends them this message. And I love his response here. This is what he says. He says, I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? See, Nehemiah realizes the significance of what God has called him to. And he says no to the things that would distract him from living in that calling. Right? I mean, maybe we don't have Sambalat and Geshem coming to us and trying to cause another meeting. Maybe our distraction from living out our calling is just another Netflix marathon. Right? I mean, it is so addicting. I get it. But there's always going to be distractions, things that want to pull us away from intentionally living out what God is calling us to, isn't there? I mean, there are so many distractions in our society. I mean, we could spend the rest of today just naming ways that we could get distracted from what God might be calling us to. And if we really want to live out that calling, we are going to have to say no. We are going to have to say, no, I am doing a great project and I cannot go down. Now, what I'm not saying in this is neglect other things God has called you to pursue this thing that you're calling to. So I'm not saying if you're a parent, I'm not saying forget about your kids and do this. If you're married, I'm not saying forget about your spouse. That is a calling in and of itself. In fact, some of you, the most significant thing you will do and your calling, and it's a very just calling, might be raising your kids. It might be a person that you raise that goes on to do something significant for the Lord, and that might be what God is calling you to. So what I'm not saying forget about the things in your life that actually do have meaning and purpose to pursue just this. I'm saying push aside the things that you know are just distractions. You know they're just distractions. To focus in on what it is God is calling you to. And some of you, you may remember a few weeks back, a bunch of you went and you stuck sticky notes of someone you were praying that God would give you an opportunity to share the gospel with. Some of us may be in this boat, right? We really wanted to do that. We really meant it in that time, but we've kind of got distracted, and we haven't pressed in, and we forgot to pray, and we forgot to look for opportunities. That's okay. You can recalibrate. You can refocus and press in on what God called you to in that moment. And it's the same with any calling. Even if you do decide to go down and get distracted, you can refocus. So, devote yourself to the things God is calling you to. What is your great work? What's your great work? What is God calling you to that you know that you need to intentionally work towards? And once you know what that is, once you understand what that is, then invest your time, your money, your resources into pursuing that. Instead of investing your time, your money, your resources into distractions. Focus your life on what counts. And graduates, if you do this, if you understand this now, there's no telling what God will do in your life. There really isn't. At this time, I really want to invite someone who I think, as I've heard, began to hear his story, I feel like he understands what God is calling him to in this season of life, and he's living intentionally towards it. And so I'm going to ask Brian Aitken to come, and I'm just going to ask him a few questions, and we're just going to hear about what God is calling him into and how he's intentionally working towards it. Yeah, if you just want to grab the mic there, that'd be great, Brian. Awesome. So Brian, maybe we could just start by just telling us a little bit about when you started to sense what God was calling you to and what your calling was.
For sure. Yeah, no, thank you very much. I really had kind of an enlightening experience a couple years ago, and it was about being a Christian in my workplace. And you know, I've always been a strong Christian and always been an example in my workplace, but kind of in the background. Never really in the foreground, always kind of the person that those that knew me well knew I was a Christian, but I don't think I put myself out for sure. And you know, I always felt guilty, especially at church. You come and you see the missionaries come out and give their little talk about talking about God in far off lands, and I always felt a little guilty that, you know, I should be out there. That's the place where the mission field is in some kind of far off land. And it wasn't until a couple years ago, Mark Westner started a group for Christian business leaders. And there were some like-minded individuals. We went to a few conferences, things like LeaderCast, and some ones down in Vancouver where Christian business leaders got together. And it was a really, that's where kind of the light bulb went on for me, which was, you know what, my workplace is my mission field. And God told me that I don't have to feel guilty about not going away to some far-off location, but that God has placed me exactly where he wants me to be and that I can serve him exactly where I am.
Awesome. And so maybe could you tell us a little bit about how that calling has developed and how you now, what kind of intentional things you're doing to live that out?
For sure. Yeah, as I was saying, this great sense of freedom came over me when I realized that I am where God wants me to be. And you know, one of the things that happens to all of us, I think, every day in our workplace, especially those of us that maybe a little bit of workaholics, spend a lot of time at work, God puts opportunities in front of us, whether it's at work or at home. And what I've found is it's the ability to see those opportunities and to act on them, to be bold and be courageous when they're put in front of us. And I found a lot of times at the end of my day, I would be thinking back about my day and think about all these missed opportunities, the things that God put in front of me and I never took opportunity for. So what I've done is I have a fairly long drive to work every day, and I pray on the way to work every day that God will give me the opportunity to see those things that he's put in front of me. We don't have to look for them. God puts them in front of us. And then to be able to act on them. And a few examples of those, there's been so many, but being a business person, I'm kind of in a place of leadership at our workplace, and we have a lot of influence over those that work for us. One day I was having an employee evaluation, and at the end of the evaluation, the employee says, now that that's over, do you mind if I ask you a personal question? And I said, absolutely. And he said, well, I notice you have a Bible on your bookshelf there. And he says, I just couldn't take my eye off it this whole time we've been talking. And I said, oh, yeah, why is that? He says, well, my father passed away last week, and he left me his Bible. And I just don't understand why it was so important for him to leave his Bible for me. And that opened the door for a huge conversation. We left the office and went out for dinner that night and had a huge conversation about why the Bible was so important to me and why it was important to his father. It was just huge. Another opportunity came up where a young man in our office was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And he was very young, and he was struggling with it a lot. And I have to be careful being a supervisor at work with what I say to employees. But I was able to approach him, and I really wanted to talk with him. And I prayed with God on the way to work that day and said, God, give me the opportunity to be able to say the right thing at the right time, and that he would be accepting. And so I was straight up honest with him. When I met him that day at work, I said, you know, I really would like to come and talk with you. I said, I think this is not about work at all. This is about eternity and the fact that I'm concerned about what is going on in your life and the things that you're going through. And I kind of half expected him, being a young guy, to tell me to go jump in the lake. But you know what? It was exactly the opposite. God prepared his heart, and God had prepared it to the point where that guy had said, Brian, I would love to come and talk with you. I've been thinking about that a lot these days. And I was able to go and spend a couple hours with him and tell him about Jesus and why it was so important. Mm. You know, those are the opportunities that God puts in front if you are only willing to take them. And I just want to share one last experience. Again, I have to be a little bit careful being in an ownership group of the company that I work for, but our CEO is a very strong Christian. And it filters down throughout our whole company and allows me to have the opportunities to share what I do. And I approached our CEO and just said, you know, I'm a little concerned about our leadership of our company and how God-honoring it is, and I would want to make sure that we have Christian leadership into the future in our company. And he said, you know, that was on his heart as well, and he agreed that we should both pray about that, about bringing in strong Christian leadership that could also be part of our company. And, you know, I was on my way home from Vancouver from that meeting, and God spoke to me so strongly. And God said, Brian, why are you looking at bringing Christian leadership from outside your company? You've been working with this great group for the last 15 years. They're right in front of you. And as Ryan was saying earlier, I kind of said, well, how's that going to work? Who's going to do that? And God just made it really clear, Brian, that's your role. That's your role. And so I've been praying very much for these four individuals for the last year. Happy to say one has actually accepted Christ already, and I have several more to go yet. And taking every opportunity that God gives me and puts in front of me to talk to them about Jesus and to keep the gospel open to them.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. Can I just pray for you before you go?
Absolutely.
God, thank you for Brian, and thank you that he is living out this kind of intentionality in his life, God. And I just pray for your favor on his life, God, that you would provide even more opportunities for him to share with coworkers, to have opportunity to share the gospel with them, to have opportunity to encourage them and speak truth into their life, God. And I just pray that you would continue to help Brian's eyes to be open to what those opportunities they are. And I pray you would help him to continue to have the courage and the boldness to step into those opportunities. Just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Brian. All right, as the worship team comes, I just want to encourage you. It was awesome to hear Brian's testimony, and I hope it was an encouragement to you. But what is God calling you to? And my encouragement is that you would take some time this week to pray into that and to ask God what he's calling you to and to wrestle with those questions and then to start living in a way that you are intentionally moving towards that. Let's worship together.